Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, begin at verse 1, says, "How amiable or how lovely are your tabernacles, your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." Now, that's a verse that you hear sometimes used in songs. It's a statement. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest, that she may have her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah." Now, this is the first mention here of people being blessed. There are three specific mentions here, which I'll get into, but that's not the main point of the message. But he says, "Blessed are they that dwell in your house." And he states here that the sparrow, the bird, has a place, a nest for her, and there's a place for you. There's a place for us, which is the house of God, or the presence of God, which is we're abiding in Him or manifest as we're praising Him. Or if we're in our place, we will be doing that which we've been created to do, which was to praise Him. Revelation 4:11 says that we were created for His pleasure. Some people think God exists for your pleasure. That's not true. You exist for His pleasure. The byproduct of you bringing pleasure to Him is you enter into His pleasure. You have the joy of the Lord, and not carnal, just human joy, but the joy of the Lord. We exist for Him. We exist for Him. So, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Now, we need to understand that the place we were created for is a place of praise and bringing the worship to God, the adoration, and the glory to God. That's what you're created for. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose hearts are the ways of him." Now, some of the words here are not actually in the Hebrew. The way it actually reads in the Hebrew is, "Blessed is the man whose heart is strong on the journey." The words "in thee whose" are not there. And the word "ways" means journey. It's a word in the Hebrew for journey. So it reads like this: "Blessed is the man whose heart is strong on the journey." Your life is like a journey. There's a spiritual journey that we're on. And as it goes on here, it says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain fills the pools." Now, this is referring to as people would go three times a year. They were to go to Jerusalem, and the worship was during Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So that was the will of God. They were to travel there in person and bring an offering to the Lord. Deuteronomy 16 brings that out, to appear before the Lord, not to do it empty-handed, but to bring an offering. And that's where the concept comes. People come to church, bring an offering, bring a tithe. Now, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's not yours just to decide what you're going to do or what you're going to give. That belongs to Him. But in coming to Him, we are to want to bless Him, bring an offering. Now, they were instructed in the law three times a year to travel to make the journey to Jerusalem for those particular feasts. I'm not going to get into all that here, but on the journey, there was a place they would pass through if they're coming down from the north, called the Valley of Baca. And Baca meant weeping. It was a desolate place. It didn't really have water. It was barren. It was rough. And it was called the Valley of Weeping. And this is a picture for us, is that it says, "Who passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a well." Now, in this life, on the journey, you pass through a lot of places. And we pass through some things that are not pleasant or unpleasant places. Now, Valley of Baca was an actual place on the way, and you can actually get online and see pictures of that place they have to travel through. The journey for some was rather long, could be dangerous, so they would tend to travel in groups. Now, Jesus' family, it says there in Luke 2, verse 41, that they went every year down to Jerusalem for Passover, for the feast. They probably went for the other feasts as well. We see in looking at the life of Jesus, and you especially see it in the Gospel of John, John's gospel was sort of measured according to the feast. He went down for each of the feasts to Jerusalem and would go there. He was accustomed to doing that because he kept the law. His parents did that. Now, in Luke chapter 2, what was happening there is he's 12 years old, and he stays in the temple, and his parents didn't know where to find him. They didn't know to a day's journey back, which didn't mean it was a family of four riding in a minivan. You would know if your kid's not there. But it was probably like 80 people or something. All the relatives are all traveling together. It was safer to travel that way. And, you know, boys are, 12-year-old boy, probably running ahead, throwing rocks in a creek and picking up sticks and stuff like that. You know, just having fun along the way. So they didn't notice till they, you know, were down for the night and say, hey, where's Jesus? Oh, I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. I thought he was with Aunt Bessie. No, I thought he was with Uncle Harry. No, where's Jesus? So they hike back a day. They look for him for 3 days, can't find him, and they're a little stressed out over this. They didn't really know their son. They didn't know what was in the heart of Jesus, that when he had the opportunity to sit at the feet of the teachers and listen and ask questions, he did that. Well, that's a little side conventional side note there. But in this life, we're on a journey, and you're going to pass through some things. Now, the word pilgrim means that you don't really have like a homeland. You're passing through. And we celebrate the pilgrims who came here. They were referred to as pilgrims because they were under much persecution, and they went from one country to another in Europe. And eventually they ended up here. The children of Israel were referred to as pilgrims, Hebrews chapter 11, strangers in a strange land when they were in Egypt. And God provided for them and ministered to them, but they were passing through. They went through a lot of stuff. And in this life, you're going to go through some tough times. It's not at all in reality to think you're going to coast through and not have to go through anything. Many people try to order their life to not have to go through anything. Get in reality. That's not reality. You're going to go through stuff. You're going to have some challenges, some difficulty, some pain, and some grief. That's just part of life. But for us, as we are passing through, God wants us to stay strong in our heart, keep the power and strength of God in our heart. Blessed is the man that will stay strong as he's passing through things. Passing through that which would be maybe viewed as suffering or grief or turmoil. The issue is how are you going through it, not whether or not you go through. But how are you going through? Are we going through in victory or not? Now, I think it was Brother Cole said once, this really stuck with me, that a man of faith doesn't focus on what he's going through, but what he's going to. Yes. What am I going to? Because if you get your eyes on what all you're going through, there are temptations that are going to come to you, like self-pity. Oh, boo-hoo, I have to deal with this. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Self-pity, that'll take you down. Bitterness and anger. Many people begin to get bitter because they're having to deal with certain experiences that are unpleasant. If you're going to allow that in your heart, ultimately you'll get bitter against God. You'll be offended with him. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that are not offended in me." He said that when John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to verify, is Jesus really the Christ? Because he's about to get his head chopped off for this. Because he spoke prophetically, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Because of his ministry in preparing the way for Jesus, who was the Christ, he's suffering. He was in prison at that point. And he was being tempted to be offended over that. Jesus would not have said what he said if that was not the case. So as you're going through things, if you get your eyes on what you're going through, you can begin to pick up offense, not just at people, but against God. Then you're done. Because you will turn away from God if you blame God for what you're going through, or you're angry, like, well, I shouldn't have to deal with this. That's the voice of self-righteousness. We all deserve to go to hell, so don't be asking for what you deserve. I shouldn't have to go through this. Why? Because I'm good. I cringe whenever I hear somebody say something like that. Why does this happen to me? I'm a good person. Well, you're going to pass through some things. This is reality. But we can pass through and go through it with the strength and power of God. Or we can allow it to then change us and rule us and bring us into a negative state of mind where we're in self-pity, bitterness, and then fear is another thing. Because if you, like, react negative to negative, then you'll fear anything like that coming again. You'll fear your future. You'll fear change. I said you'll fear change. A lot of people fear change. Well, what if I lose what I have? Well, who is your God? Can he bless you again? If you did lose it. Who says you're going to lose it anyway? That's just devil talk there. Fear, bitterness, offense, self-pity. These are things that come if you focus upon and magnify what you're going through. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well or a spring. Or you're going to bring water in a dry place. You know, sometimes people are afraid the devil's going to attack them and mess with them. He should be afraid to mess with you. Because as he brings someone to try to bring affliction to your life, you're going to lead them to Christ. That's the kind of attitude we want to have. Oh, devil, you want to mess with me? You're going to use this person? We'll just walk in love here and we'll just rob them right out of your grip, out of your kingdom. Who passing through the valley of Baca, that dry place, that desert place, that desolate place, you're going to bring life to that. Wherever you go, you bring life because you have the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as rivers of living water in you in John chapter 7, verse 7, 37 through 39. Rivers of living water springing up. Water is necessary for life. Water is the essence of life. So, do we bring life in the midst of death or in the midst of suffering? Or do we add to it? Do we make it all worse? If we won't purpose to release life in the midst of what we're going through, you'll become just a complainer, negative murmurer. That's what you become. The people whose hearts are praising God in the house of God, they whose hearts are strong on the journey, go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Now, their journey was to Jerusalem, which was Zion, the city of God. And there's a whole history to that. I won't get into all that right now. But again, they were to go three times a year to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. And it says in Zion, appearing before God, or it's the word appear is their sight, their eyes, and before, actually a better translation is toward, their eyes toward God. They're looking at whom they're going to, not what they're going through. And I'm going to repeat that a few times. This is very important. If it's anything you remember, this will benefit you. You do not focus on what you're going through, but on who you're going to and what you're going to. And they were going through this dry place, this desolate place, to go and to worship God, to be in the place God wanted them to be at the time he wanted them to be there. One of those three feasts, they were to be there for the express purpose of their worship of God, having their eyes upon him. Now, as a believer, our destiny's heaven. If you're a believer, your destiny's been established as heaven. We need to keep our eyes on that. To be in the presence of God throughout all of eternity, the fullness of his presence in heaven. At that point, and everything in heaven exists to worship and glorify God. If you don't have that purpose, you're not going to think much about heaven. But when we live for the glory of God, we know him and we realize that's our destiny. That's a glorious thing. Now, I'm a pilgrim, you're a pilgrim, passing through this earth. We cannot root so deeply and so tight to the things of this world that we're living, you end up living for that. But to realize we're just passing through on our way to our true home in heaven and our true destiny of a place and purpose for the worship and glory of God. The embrace of this truth will keep you strong, continuing to release faith, continuing to abide in his presence, to pray, to worship him. We go from strength to strength because with every challenge, with everything you pass through, you need more of the strength of God. So you go from strength to strength. As you go on and you get victory in an area, things that were a real test to you are now behind you, and you are stronger. So if you encounter the same thing, it's not a big deal. I remember when I first started in the ministry, some of the things that I had encountered, it was like overwhelming in my mind. I mean, now I look back and think that was nothing. Why? Because I became stronger. I like that song of Janie Grind, stronger than before. There's a mindset there. Whatever you're going through, you're going to come out the other side stronger than before. Not lose it, not be weaker, not be bitter, not be full of pity. Woe is me, like Elijah was when he ran from Jezebel. I'm the only one left. It's not true. He said, God said, I have 7,000 more just like you. And then he says it again. See, he got his eyes off of the Lord who brought fire down from heaven and consumed the offering and killed the prophets of Baal. He got his eyes off him just that quick. Depression, self-pity, and all this comes upon him. Fear to where he's fleeing for his life. Well, the God who brought fire from heaven could give him the victory over Jezebel. But he took his eyes off of the Lord. I believe in Hebrews 12, this is where that revelation came from. Hebrews 12, keep looking unto Jesus, came from the scriptures right here. Going from strength to strength, getting stronger and stronger, regardless of what all you're going through. Now, it's not wrong to speak of what you're going through. It is what it is. You're going through what you're going through. But where are your eyes? What are you looking toward? Are you going to dwell on that? Or are you going to strengthen yourself in the Lord and stay strong in faith? Oh Lord God, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon our face of the face of thine anointed. God's your shield or your protection from whatever you're going through. So you don't have to be afraid. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Or as the song says, a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The thing that you really are yearning for, whether you realize it or not, is to abide in the presence of God. Because all that we were created for and desire is there. It's not at the beach. It's not in the mountains. It's not at whatever you like to do in the flesh. It's in his presence. It's with him. And we can enjoy that while we're here. But that's our destiny. Eternity in the presence of God. Eternity in the presence of God. And he said, I'd rather have one day, just a moment in the presence of God. Will release strength to sustain you. I remember some years ago, as I would go to different pastors' meetings, I was kind of a fellowship with different groups, when I say different groups, I mean like different camps or different point of emphasis. And I tried to draw from people in different strengths in the body of Christ. And back in the 80s, there were so many ministers falling into sin, especially sexual sin. It was unbelievable. 1988, I personally knew 6 pastors that fell. 5 sexual sin, 1 fell back into drugs. And people think, well, who's next, you know? And at the pastors' meetings, everybody would be talking about this. Well, how are we going to, not fall? And guys would talk, because I was younger, I would not try to be one of the people that was speaking initially. I'd wait my turn. Everybody pretty well talked themselves out. Like the young man Elihu with Job. Let the older guys talk, and he brought wisdom in. And I would pipe up. It usually was like raining on their parade, because they'd talk about, well, you need more vacations, you should, people get burnt out, you need to do this and that. And I'd just say, the people are not my problem. If I have a problem, it's only one. I'm not full enough of Jesus. That was not what they wanted to hear. In fact, I could tell some of them just soon I wasn't there. But I was speaking the truth. Either we really believe what we say or the word says or not. Either he's all I need or he's not. Either he's my sufficiency or he's not. Either he's my victory and my source of joy and peace or he's not. The truth can make friends, and the truth can dissolve relationships pretty quick. If somebody's not wanting to hear it at the moment, these are pastors. They should have known better. But they were thinking carnally about a spiritual problem. Because as pressure and as satanic temptation attack would increase, you need more of Jesus, not less of him and more of the flesh. Because the flesh doesn't give you victory over a spiritual battle. It's only the Spirit of God that's going to bring victory there. So what I need is more of him. And I pressed into that. And it's 40 years later, I'm still here. Now, that's not to boast. That's just to acknowledge the truth of what I'm saying. That God can sustain you no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of target's on your back. It doesn't matter how many devils are out to get you. I could care less how many devils are out there. They're not allowed in my space. They're not allowed in my face. I'm going to stand strong no matter what I'm passing through. I'm going to go from strength to strength and glory to glory, because I'm going to hang on to Jesus and stay for him. It's a decision you make. At any point along the way, you can start to pity yourself. You can let the spirit of fear begin to talk in your ear and chirp until you're talked right out of believing God for whatever his purpose and plan for your life is. I refuse to do that. I'm going to hold fast my faith to my death. And I'm going to believe God because there's a work to be done, not just to hang on to life and say, well, I've lived this long. But rather, I want to finish the plan and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. All I need is a day in his presence. All I need is more of him. There was a song, Mylon Lefevre, I think it was just called More, something like that. I used to love that song. I heard that one for a while. More, 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 Jesus. You know, over the years, some of you would have heard me say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, there's something behind that. It's what I'm sharing with you. It's not just being some, like, cliche, or as Pastor Bill's cliche, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, he is my life. And with whatever I'm going through, I just need enough of him in me. Now, he's there, but I'm talking about the release, the manifestation, the fullness, the present moment experience of him, not just knowing about him in my head, but actually partaking life and strength. In the year 2020, something changed for me where the Spirit of God said, you need to preach. The anointing is coming upon you to preach because in the day and the hour we're in, there needs to be an impartation, spirit to spirit, of strength, spirit to spirit, faith. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I love to teach. I can't help myself. It's not like I'm trying this or anything. It's just that's the anointing for the hour. I hope you can see that and appreciate it. Because we've got to be strong in the face of the whole world's passing through a challenge. Our nation's passing through a challenge. Believers are challenged. Some, you know, more so at certain times than others. And we've got to draw on the strength of God, abiding in his presence, worshiping him, hearing the preaching of the word that would carry strength, which brings, you know, the declaration of who he is carries with it strength and power. We've got to lay hold of that, receive it. Yes, that's mine. I lay hold of that strength of God. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He'll give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Selah. Think about that one. God's not holding out. It's up to us to lay hold of it. He's not withholding anything from us. It's all right there. The question is, am I going to go get it? He says, all right here for you. He's not holding back. He'll give us all that we need to go through, whatever the test, the trial, the hardship, whatever. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. So the third time he says, blessed is the man here. It's to be in faith. To be in faith or trust in him, to lay hold. You know, if I believe God's good, if I believe he's provided all that I need, if I believe that I have access to all that I would need to pass through whatever I'm going through, if I believe that, then I'm going to go after it and get it and lay hold of it. What do you believe today? It's for us to lay hold of all that he's promised us, of all that he's given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that dwell in his house or worship him. Blessed is the man whose heart's strong while he's going through things, going through the journey. Blessed is the man who will continue in faith. A moment in the presence of God. So we gather together with the intent, purpose to bring glory and honor to him, to bless him, but then also with expectation to receive from him. During the time of worship, in the worship, the songs we sing, we are singing our faith. We are singing what we believe, what the word of God says to us. So we can just do that sort of mindlessly, or we can do it from a place of revelation in our heart. Lord, I acknowledge you, and we join our faith together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, strengthening our faith because there is a power of God increased in the unity of the Spirit. And that's why God's will is that we gather together like this and do this. And it says in Hebrews 10, all the more as you see the end coming, the day coming of the Lord. All the more as the trials and the tests get increase around us, as things get worse in the world, all the more gathering in his name and declaring him and expressing our faith. Let's stand and do that right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.